the case may be, I want to tell you that God is still on the throne. God is still well able. God is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still Jehovah Jireh. He is still the provider. He is still the one that's doing miracles on a regular basis. God is still the one that's healing our family. God is still the one that's leading lost to Him. God is still the one that you can call on. And so I'm going to ask you to begin to lift your hands. Every discouragement that you've had this week, every bit of heartache that you've had this week, every moment of depression that you've been in this week, I'm going to ask you to begin to let that go. Amen. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you said in your word, God, that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up every single hindrance that would try to come into this service, God, as a distraction. Lord, in Jesus' name, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to come into this place and to begin to operate. Father God in heaven, I ask right now that you would walk down every single aisle right now. Daddy God, I don't know what's hurting your children, but God, you know. God, you know it all. And because of that, God, we can praise you and we can thank you. So God, I thank you right now what you're going to do in this service. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it has seemed like an eternity since we have got to meet in the building, but it's actually just been a week. But it has been a week. I don't know if that's how y'all feel, but that's how I feel. It has been a week. And God has kept us all. If there's anything that I just really feel, Michelle, I feel like God has kept his kids. And that does not mean that you're not going to struggle. Let me tell you something. You're going to have some struggling. You're going to have some tears and you're going to have some heartache. But let me tell you something, Jenny, at the end of the day, God's going to still have us standing. God's going to still have us having victory no matter what. No matter what. And so I'm happy. This morning I want to minister to you a message called God Sees You. So many times we go in life and we don't feel like we were seen. We don't feel like we were heard. We don't feel like we were validated. Perhaps we feel like people have let us down. Perhaps you may feel like somebody hurt you in some type of way. Maybe you feel like life has let you down. And I want to tell you one thing. Regardless of what is going on in your life, Sherry, I want to tell you that God sees you. God sees exactly your situation. Some people are telling God, God, you don't know what they've done. Let me tell you something. God knows. God knows. And because he knows, we're in a good standing. We're in a good place. There are things that only God is going to know. That's what I've learned about life. There's so many times where I've wanted to defend myself, where I've wanted to tell everything on everybody. Look here. Here's what I've learned about that. Talk is so cheap. Talk is a cheap thing. It's the cheapest thing on this planet. Talk. That's not even a part of the message, but here we go. We're going to flow with the ghost. Don't get pastor going on that soapbox. But let me tell you something. God sees exactly where you're at. When you're struggling and you feel like you can't go on, God sees you in that moment. When you've had your best and most miraculous victories, God sees that moment. God sees when you're crying. God sees when you're laughing. God sees when you're saying, God, I cannot take one more day. God sees you in that moment. And the amazing thing about God is not only does he see you, but when you get real close to God, God does this amazing thing. And he gets right there next to you and he meets you right where you're at. So many people, they think, I got to go chase God down. Look here. All you have to do is the word of God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. I don't know about y'all, but God has saved me many, many times. He has saved me from myself. He has saved me from disaster. He has saved me. Myself is a disaster most of the time, so those things are like two in one. But God has saved me many times, and he's kept me, and he's kept y'all. And I've missed you so much, but I want you to know that God sees you. He sees you, and you are the apple of his eye. I said you're the apple of his eye. Amen. I was thinking the other day when I was meditating on what God wanted me to minister, and he said, Kelly, I want you to remind them of this story. And you know, the funniest things happened to me, and I used to wonder why God called me into the ministry as a pastor, because most of the time I don't feel qualified, and most of the time I don't feel like I'm good enough. And I don't feel like that because here's what I know about myself. Come hell or high water, I'm going to be me. And sometimes me isn't real great. But it's going to be what it's going to be. But you know what? God uses those people because if he can keep them on the right track, they're going to do something in life. And if God can keep you, if you'll allow yourself to be kept, he's going to use you in a mighty, mighty way. But the darndest things happened to me. And I think God, I think he created me just for like some humor because the darndest things happened to me. But a couple years ago, my family and I, we went up to St. Louis. And, you know, you get to those points in your life where you feel bad about fibbing about things. So I've learned to just let it be. St. Louis is not my favorite place to go because it's cold up there. And it's not like a normal cold. It's like a bitter, you know, chop your nose off. It's cold up there. And we go up there for the holidays. So I don't like to be cold. I don't like to be hot either. I'm going to gripe about whatever kind of weather's going on. Don't kid yourself, but I don't like to be cold. So anyways, we go up there, and I'm pretty picky. How many of y'all are picky about which hotels you stay at? I'm one of them people where I want to get that light that they got on them TV shows, and I want to check the beds. I'm really kind of nutty about it. And so I always give Jeremy a big fat lecture. And it doesn't matter where he picks, I'm going to gripe about it. Doesn't matter. I'm going to gripe about wherever we stay, Mike, because I like to be in my house. I don't like to be out because I'm never in my house. So therefore, when I vacation, I want it to be in my house because I never get to go there and be there. So anyways, we go up to St. Louis. We're in this hotel, and I'm already not liking it. I'm already finding fault with everything. And I'm like, Lindsay, I'm just like, I'm going to have to shut up. I'm going to get on Jeremy's nerves, and I'm just going to have to shut my pie hole because he needs to be able to enjoy going to see his family. I don't do well with shutting up. I never have. It's not a strength of mine. It's not even a virtue. I mean, I'm not great at it. So we're sitting there, and I'm like, I'm going to get in the shower. That creeps me out. I don't like to get in the showers of hotels. There's nothing that creeps me out more than getting in a shower in a hotel because I've watched one too many of them weird shows where they got some weirdo up in a peephole and they're staring at you. And not that I'm a lot to stare at, but it just creeps me out. I'm not a fan of it because in my mind, Mike, the whole time I'm picturing somebody looking at me. And so I don't do well with that. I'm a paranoid person. So we get up there, and I'm taking a shower, and I'm trying to, like, relax because I'm trying to let it be a vacation. I'm not a relaxed type of person. I'm very high-strung, very high-strung. You can't tell that about me. So I sling open the curtain, the shower curtain, and it's all steaming, okay? And as God is my witness, God probably allowed this to happen because I'm so crazy. But I fling open that shower curtain, and no doubt, here it is written on the window, on the mirror of the bathroom that I don't want to be in, I see you. And I walked out. I mean, I am a force to be reckoned with when I'm unhappy about something. And I freaked plumb out. I was like, Jeremy, is this some sort of sick joke that you're playing on me? And he didn't do it. And he really didn't do it. But I think what somebody did is they wrote that on the mirror when they left, and it got steamy, and I was just the poor old girl that saw it. And I thought, oh, my God. My worst nightmare has come true. There is a pervert in the hotel. And my go-to is, Did somebody touch you? I'm always asking everybody, what has happened? Because I'm going to get to the bottom of that. And Jeremy always makes fun of me about that. But I was so upset about that Rocky, I grabbed that phone, and I was naked as a jaybird. And here I am walking around the hotel, and I'm going, I want the manager. I said, I just want to let you know what kind of sick stuff you got going up in your hotel. And let me tell you, I am naked right here in this room that I have ordered from you, and this mirror is telling me that somebody is seeing me. And the manager, I could tell, he put down the phone, and he says to somebody else, I don't know what to do in this situation. And he gets on the phone, and he goes, ma'am? I said, yes. What are you going to do about this? He goes, I don't know what to do about it. And I said, well, I want you to come up here, and I want you to see this kind of sick stuff that you've got going up in this hotel. And here I am, and I'm still naked, and Jeremy's going, I'm not letting him come up here right now, Kelly. This is not going to happen. But I want to tell you the funny thing about that whole story is you're going to laugh about this. What is your name again? Dean, I'm so glad you're here. I've been praying for you all week. God's put you on my heart many times. And when I first told my husband to come in there and look at that mirror, this is what he did, and this is very typical of him. He goes, I don't see a thing. That's Jeremy. That is straight up Jeremy. He's not going to indulge any part of my crazy. He's like, I don't see it. What? Where? Where does it say I see you? And I was riled up, and I was very upset about that for a couple days. And I felt so weird because in my brain, there's no, like, dismissing that. In my brain, me and my brain, we're a pair. And a couple days went by, and I could not get that out of my brain. And I just meditated on it. And I laughed because in my head I kind of thought, you know, this is just some weird sick thing that people do to creep people out that come after them that stay in this room. So I kind of like talked myself off of the absolute crazy ledge where I was just able to be on the crazy ledge. And so I came back to Arkansas. And God just kind of put in my heart, and I've thought about this many, many times. This was a couple years ago when this happened. And he said, Kelly, I do see you. And I see you in every moment. When you're sitting there and you're asking God, God, do you see what I'm going through? God, do you see what this person did? God, do you see how hard that this is? God, do you really, really see? And he said, Kelly, I want you to always remember, God deals with me with humor most of the time because I'm a humorous little quirky girl. He said, Kelly, I see you. I see you. There's something about a good battle that makes you feel unseen. There's something about a struggle that makes you feel like nobody sees where you're at and that you're hurting and you're suffering and you feel like nobody sees that. I want to encourage you today. God sees you. God sees where you're at. If you're not in a good place, I want you to know that God sees you. If you're in a good place, I want you to know that God sees you. I feel like somebody today, you're telling God, Lord, the waters of my life right now, they're very muddy and I don't know which way to go. Look here. God sees that. God sees it. If you'll honor God, God will honor you. He's going to show you which way to go. If you're hurting in here today, if you're concerned about your family, if you're concerned about many, many things, go sit at his feet. Tell him, because I want to tell you something. God sees it. God sees right where you're at. That's what I want to minister to you today. Let's go to Psalms chapter 33. We're going to look at verse 18. And I have missed y'all so, so much. I mean, I have just missed the heck out of y'all. And I thank you, Rocky. And I just want to tell you, and I know I say this a lot, but I don't say it near enough. I want to tell you that this pastor here loves you so much. And I want to thank y'all for loving me. And y'all are all family to me, and I love you dearly. Psalms chapter 33, verse 18. And it says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. And what I want to tell you right now, it does not matter what you're going through, God sees you. What does it say here? It says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Look here, you need to have a healthy fear of who God is. You need to have a healthy respect for the living God. So many people, they dishonor God with their choices, with their life, with their talent, with their whole being. You know, the word says in the Psalms, it says, God, let every breath, let everything that I am, God, let it praise you, let it bless you, let it bring glory to who you are. There's so many times in the middle of a battle where we are going through that battle and we're sitting there and we're worried about us. Look here. Turn your eyes on God. Look full in his face and nobody else's. That battle, it's already been won, Julie. It's already been won. But we got to be who we're supposed to be in Christ. And we have to keep a hold of the simple little fact that God sees where we're at. There are times where you are going to feel very unseen. There are times where you're going to feel like the whole world is against you. Do you feel me? Amen. Look here. The whole world ain't against you. Many times we are our own worst enemy. Many times we are worrying about things, Michelle, that never happen. Many times. God sees us in every moment. And it says here that to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. There's going to be times where you have a lot, and there may be times where you don't have as much. Look here, God will keep you. There may be times in your life where you got lots of patience for a bunch of nonsense, and there are going to be times that you don't. There's going to be times where you're just mentally exhausted and you can't take one more day. You need to tell God, because God sees you. What you don't have, he's going to make up the difference. There was a few years ago, there was a battle that I was in, and I said, God, I cannot take one more day of this. I'm a drama queen. How about y'all? I'm as dramatic as they get. And I'll be, Mike, I'll cry about it. I'll get mad about it. I'll have every emotion in one episode. And it'll be 5 minutes. And I was marching down the stairs, and I have 14 stairs that go downstairs. And I know I got 14 because I fell down them about three times. And one time I fell in slow motion, and it was like I was starting to count these steps. And I was thinking, when are we going to run out of steps? I'm too old for this. And I was walking down the stairs of my house, and I said, God, I cannot take one more day. Lord, God in heaven, Daddy, God, I cannot take one more day of this. And God said, Kelly, you can take one more day. You can take one more day. Keisha, I went on from there, and I took a lot more days that I did not think that I could take. And the reason I could take them was because God saw where I was at. I was certain that he saw. You can't go off of your feelings, because your feelings will lead you the wrong way, because our feelings are up and down, up and down. You can take one more day, but rest assured of this. God won't allow you to take one more day of it past time. That's true. God will establish every day, every step. If you're sitting there today and you're saying, God, how much more of this? That's got a shelf life. He's not going to give you more than you can take. But what he will do is he'll let you see just how much you can take. You got more in you than you know. You got more goodness in you than what you know. You've got more power in you and strength in you than what you know. Battles and hardships, those things have a way of pulling you to what you think is your worst, but really it's making you at your best. Some of the worst things that I've been through have made me who I am today. A lot of people say, you're a strong girl. I don't really think so. But if I am, it's literally just because of the grace of God that's kept me. Let's go to the next place this morning, Psalms chapter 34. We're going to look at verse 15 through 20. I want to tell you that God sees you. God sees what you're in. If it's a good thing, then great. He sees you there, and he knows what he's going to do to make it even better. If you're struggling in here today, God sees that struggle. He's already got a way out. He knows exactly what he's going to do. If you're asking God, Lord, I need a breakthrough, God knows exactly what to do to bring it about. So we're looking in Psalms chapter 34. We're going to start at verse 15. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Now, how many of you guys in here, your parents, you've got a kid in some way or another. You've either had a kid or you've parented a child. Okay, so that's pretty well most of us. Let me tell you, I have developed over the years what I call selective hearing. And I ain't going to hear nothing unless I want to hear it. Because I got this thing since I became a mom. I will zone that out. I used to go to restaurants and be so annoyed at people and their loud children till I became one of those people with loud children. And it used to annoy me so bad when I would have to sit by a table with people that had family. And I was so annoyed. And then I became one of those people. And I'm like, look here. I'm paying $9.99 for this entree, just like you. You don't like my kids, you go somewhere else. We're going to be loud. We're the loud people. And so, anyways, Jeremy always says this. He said, Kelly, you're the deafest person I know till one of our kids cries. And that's the truth. My kids, this is since they was babies, they could be upstairs with the door shut. The TV downstairs could be blazing loud as ever, and I could be in a dead sleep. One of my babies cries, I'm up. There's something about being a parent that makes you like that. And I never understood it till I became a parent. But I want to tell you something. If we are like that, how do you think that God is like? How do you really think that he's like? Look here. I know how I'm like. If my kids are hurting, even if they're in the wrong, Keisha, I'm on their side. If my kids are hurting, they even acting like they're hurting emotionally, I'm like, who we got to kill? So somebody's going to get it, you know, unless it's Deacon Charlie. I mean, he gets a free pass. Charlie can get on my kids as the day is long. But the word says right here, and his ears are attentive to their cry. I want to tell you something. God sees you and God hears you. So many people, they're caught up in an illusion. Well, I don't got to voice something to God. I don't got to tell something to God because God already knows it. Let me tell you something. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't be a lazy Christian. Talk to God. Why? Because the word says that he is attentive to their cry. If you ain't crying out to God in your darkest moments, yeah, God sees you. But you know what? When you're in that moment, in that heat of the battle, you need to cry out to God. You need to tell him and you need to talk to him. You need to push through. You need to get on your knees and not get up till you come up different. Because God does see. God sees exactly where you're at. Everything that we're going through, so many times, I'm really bad about this, but I will feel like my problem is permanent. It's not. It's temporary. And you're passing through it. You're passing through it. So it says here, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all of their troubles. My absolute favorite verse in the Bible is Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I want to tell you something. When you're broken, God sees you. Not only does he see you, but he's close to you. You don't serve a God that's far off. You serve a God that's close. You serve a God that's so close. Many years ago when I was a little girl, my parents took us. They took us on a lot of vacations, I think every year pretty well. And we always looked forward to them. We'd usually spend a week in Branson. And Shelly and I had lots of fun. We used to meet boys on the elevator. We used to get our crushes going for a week. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. But when I was real little, I had a cousin named Brett, and I still have that cousin. I love that cousin. And Casey, they were in the pool. And I have always wanted to be a big girl because I had a sister that was 5 years older than me. And I always felt like the little girl. So here they were off doing this stuff. They were in the deep end of the pool, acting like big kids. And if you are the baby of the family or you are a younger sibling, you were probably always told you can't do that because you're not a big girl or a big boy. Well, that's what I was told all the time. I never listened. The Lord has saved my life so many times, it's not even funny. So my dad was talking to my Uncle Pat, and they were over there talking. And you got to watch your kids because the devil try to get your kids. I looked at him, and he was talking, and Jennifer, I just jumped in the deep end, and I started acting like I was going to swim. Well, I'm not a good swimmer to this day. And I was doing my best, and I was doggy paddling, and I've always been a weenie. I can't doggy paddle more than 1 minute. I was over here doggy paddling, and Casey and Brett, being the big kids that they were, they started splashing that water in my little darling face. And I started to not be able to see. And then I started going under. And all I could see was my daddy talking to Uncle Pat. And I was thinking, is daddy going to see me? I kept coming up and down, up and down, up and down. I was thinking, oh, daddy, quit talking to Uncle Pat. And I tell you what, there was a moment, Keisha, I just kept coming up and down from that water. I want to stop that story right here, and I want to tell you something. I cannot stress this to you enough. Dale, there's going to be times in your life, all of y'all, where you're up in a problem, you're up in a battle, and you're drowning in it, or you feel like you're drowning in it, and you're coming up and down. What is the up and down? Reality versus actual what you're thinking in your head. Shelly, there's things that we think in our head. God's not going to allow them to happen, but that doesn't mean the devil's not going to come in and make us fearful of some things. And you're going to come up and down and up and down. What you need is you need somebody better and bigger and holier than you, that's Christ, to jump in there and get you. He's the only one that can. I was probably 7 or 8, and I kept coming up and down from that water, but there was a moment. And it was a moment. I locked eyes with my dad. And the next thing I knew, he was up in that pool. And I'll never forget it. He wrapped his arms around me. He said, I got you. And I just put my head on his shoulder and I just cried. Because that just scared the heck out of me. I thought, I am not a big girl. I am a little girl. And I am going to stop getting in this deep end. This nearly killed me. And he said, I gotcha. I want to tell you something. Sherry, when we're in those parts of our life and we're struggling and we're saying, God, do you see me? God, are you going to help me? What you need when you're coming up and down from that water is you need to lock eyes with God. How do you lock eyes with him? You just get on your knees. You talk to God. You cry out to God. You tell God what you're going through. Because he's going to see you. He sees you right then. What does God do? He's going to be God. God doesn't have a nature other than the hero. That's what I've learned about him. God will jump in when you're wrong. God will jump in when you're right. I was probably a real turd that day. Dad's not going to be like, I'm going to let her drown because she was misbehaving 30 minutes before I decided to take her to the pool. No. he got in there and he got baby girl. That's what you do when you're a parent. God's not going to let you drown up in the problem. But look here. Some people are bad about not telling God some things. You have to exercise communicating with God. You got to talk to God. You got to tell him, God, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't step in, I don't know what's going to happen. Have you had some moments like that where you've told God, God, Julie, I've had some moments. I continue to have moments, and I look at things, and I go, I don't even know how you're going to fix this, God. I don't. But God, I am sure of one thing. Only you can fix it. Only you can. God sees you. He sees where you're at. If the devil's trying to make you feel like you're not seen, you need to brush that off because God sees you. God is the best parent that there is, that there will ever be. He sees what's hurting you. He sees what's going on. He sees your next victory. He sees your breakthrough. He sees your healing. He sees your family. He sees your children. He sees the answer. He sees it all. And he sees you. Amen. Let's go now. I don't think I finished my reading, so we're still in Psalms 34. We're going to look at verse 18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Verse 19, a righteous man may have many troubles. Now listen, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. There's something about how twisted the devil is that when Christians struggle, we think that we've done something terribly wrong because we're struggling. Many times, you haven't done anything, but this world that you're living in is not your home, and because of that, there's struggles that happen in this life down here. The Word says, a righteous man may have many troubles. Do you got troubles today? I got troubles today. Lots of them. God delivers you from all of them. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Amen. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 3. And it says here, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Are everywhere. Keeping watch on the wicked and the good. So many times what you're going through involves another person. Do you agree? And that's what I hate about it, Kurt. You know why I hate that? Because I can't control anybody else but me. And the honest to God truth is, if I'm very honest, I cannot even control myself most of the time. When I know I'm not going to be good, Dean, I know it's not a good day for me to be in public. Because, look here, why tempt myself? You ever wake up and you're going, just stay home. When you're a pastor, you can't get away with that stuff. There's lots of days, Deborah, where I just have to stop and I just have to say, God, put me in a right attitude. Put me there. Put me in that place because I'm showing out. I almost lost my religion about 4 or 5 weeks ago on a Wednesday out there at the food ministry. They say if God calls you to it, he'll get you through it. And we had like 3 pallets of celery. An astronomical amount of celery. I mean, what are you supposed to do with that? And this one chick, she was like, I'm not taking the celery. And you know, you get to a point where sometimes you got rules with the food ministry, okay? Somebody's got to be the jerk and drive the bus, and that's this cute blonde. I'm going to drive the bus, and you may not like how I drive it, but by golly, we're going to get there. And put your seatbelt on because it's going to be rough. I said, everybody that comes through the food line today is going to get a bag of like 6 packages of celery. And if they don't want that, if they're going to show out over that, they don't have to come through the food line, but everybody's going to get 6 little packs of celery. Well, I mean, I don't even like celery unless it's in stuffing. So, I mean, you know, this one lady, the funny thing about me being a pastor is that most people, they're like, who's the pastor? Couldn't be that little weird girl. And it is. I told you, God has a sense of humor. And she got right up in my face, and I don't like that kind of thing. I like personal space, you know? She got like nose to nose with me. She goes, I'm not taking that celery. And I go, oh, you're taking the celery. Here's her. I'm not taking the celery. And I mean, I'm Italian, and I got some gangster up in me, and I was like, you're taking the celery, ma'am, because if you don't, you're not going to walk through the food line, because that's not fair. Everybody is going to take one of these enormous packs of celery. And I was about to get ugly. And then I was like, hold on a second, Kelly, you're a pastor. You can't do that kind of thing. And I had to get a hold of myself. And I was like, God, please, for the love of Jesus, don't let me make a butt of myself today with the celery. Lord, help me, because this lady is showing out. God got me through that moment. But let me tell you something. Lots of our troubles have to deal with other people. And the problem is you can't control other people because you can barely control yourself. Here's the good news. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. There are two types of people in this world. When you really dumb it down and you really get down to the nitty-gritty, Megan, there's two types. Good people and wicked people. That's what you're living with. You got good or you got wicked. Look here. The good thing about the God that we serve is his eyes, they're everywhere. When somebody's dealing with you and you're having a struggle and it's because of another person, look here. God's eyes are everywhere on that situation. God is not going to allow somebody to bully you. You may feel like you're being bullied, and there may be a little bit of bullying, but let me tell you something. God will come in and he'll raise a standard, and he will not let the devil come over that standard. If you're struggling in here today and you're not feeling seen and you got all this stuff and your problem involves other people, look here. And you're telling God, Lord, you don't know the situation. God, what about this? And God, what about that? God's eyes are everywhere. Everywhere on that situation. I know people in this church. And I'll tell you something. You can always tell when God is really with somebody. And one of my very closest friends has tried their best to just be a better person, to just be better, to be more of a Christian, more of a believer, more of a parent. And they had some obstacles in their life, and these obstacles dealt with some wicked, wicked people. And I kept thinking, God, I know you see it all, and I know you're going to take care of it, but these people are really wicked. What you going to do about that? Man, let me tell you something. Within about a three-month span, God literally removed those people from the face of the earth. God's not going to allow you to keep on being tormented. He's not going to allow you to keep struggling in that struggle. You may have to struggle 10 more days. You may have to struggle one more month. Your struggle has a shelf life. While you're in it, keep a hold of this one thing. God sees me and he sees where I'm at. Megan, when we're in that pool and it's our life and we're coming up and down and we're struggling so hard and we can't see very much, what we have to keep a hold of is Daddy God is in this pool with me. He's not going to allow me to drown in it. He's going to lift you up, and he's going to tell you, I got this. I got this. You got to keep a hold of that because life will want to take you down and keep you down. God doesn't ever want you to be kept down. God's always looking to thrust you forward. constantly. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 3. Yet you know me, O Lord, you see me and test my thoughts about you. Yet you know me, O Lord, and you see me and you test my thoughts about you. What are your thoughts about God? I'm going to keep it real with you. There have been times when I was not as a mature Christian as I am today where the thoughts that I had about God concerning my battle weren't real great. There were times, Sherry, where I was in a battle and I was mad at God because I was in a battle. See, what are your thoughts about God? God will test your thoughts that you have about him. He'll see where you need to grow. He'll see where you need to improve. But the word says, God, you see me and you test my thoughts about you. You test my thoughts about you. What do you think about God today? What do you think about them? Many times when I'm trying to get to know someone new and I'm around someone else that knows the person, I'll say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? When you're a pastor, that's what you got to do. You ain't got time to study everybody. I'm like a squirrel. I've got a very short attention span. I'll ask people, what do you think about so-and-so? And here's what I've learned. You can't always judge a book by its cover. Thank God for that. Because there are times in our lives where we ain't going to look so great. But God knows there is greatness in us. There are times where life is going to beat you down and you don't even recognize yourself. See, when you look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, here's what you see, and the word says that he was beaten beyond recognition. Why did he do that, Jennifer? He did it because God knows that at times in this life will beat you up beyond what you can even recognize yourself in. You ever wake up in your life and you say, I don't even recognize my own life. How did I get here? You got a Savior, and when he was beaten and crucified, not only was he beaten, but he was beaten so badly that when they were done with him, you couldn't recognize who he was. Look here, how many times has the devil tried to beat you up to the point where you didn't recognize who you even were anymore? You ever had a phase in your life where you said, I don't even know who I am anymore? Amen? See, you can sit there and we can all play Christian and we can all play church. We can play that stuff all we want to. And what I've learned about being fake is that's all you're going to be. You'll either be fake or you'll be real. And if you want to be fake, that's all you'll ever be. You want to be real? Look here. Some people ain't going to get on the boat with your realness. But look here. You're going to keep it real anyways, and you're going to keep going. When you look back in life, you'll see them people that wanted you to be fake, and they still where they at. Keep it real. If you're struggling, own that struggle. Yeah, I'm struggling. God sees every part of it. He sees my coming and he sees my going. Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 23 and 24. And it says right here, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. And what God is saying in these verses is he's saying, I'm a God that's near, but yet I'm a God that's far. Why? Because God is in every sequence of time that we have. There are times where people are so hung up on their past that they got to say, God, I'm hung up on my past. God, go with me to my past because I'm still messed up over it. God will go to those people with their past. He'll heal that past. God's a God that's close. He's also a God that's far, and he's taking care of situations we're not even aware of that are going to happen. Am I only a God that's nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places? Let me tell you something. You're not going to play hide and seek with God. God sees you. That should be the most comforting thing today. God sees you. There's times where I've preached, and Sherry, I may have smiled on the outside, but on the inside I was weeping. Today is one of them days. But I sat here today and God reminded me. He brought me back to when I was 19 years old. And there was a day where I was brokenhearted, a lot like today. And I was sitting right over there. And my sister got up and sang that same song that she sang today. And God said, Kelly, if you want to be free, you stand up and you praise me. As a 19-year-old girl, I stood up and I just began to praise God. Let me tell you something. God sees you. God will meet you. He will meet you at whatever dirty, filthy part you're at in your life, at whatever great part you're at in your life. God meets you there. You ain't got to chase God down and say, God, where are you? God sees you, and God goes to you. When you're drowning in it, God's up in there, and he's got a hold of you. God sees you today. Don't ever, ever think that he doesn't. He sees you. He knows you by name. He calls you his own. He's going to take care of you. I feel like somebody just needs to hear today, it's going to be okay. If you're watching on Facebook Live today and this has gripped you and this has gotten your attention, you may think, how did I get onto this chick? Look here, it was a divine appointment. You're welcome. It's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. No storm lasts forever. It has a shelf life. Last place for me this morning, 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. And I'm going to stop right there in that verse. I'm going to read it one more time, and I want you to soak it in. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Are you righteous today? Are you righteous today? I'm not asking if you're perfect. Thank God. There are no perfect people, by the way. Thank God. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Are you righteous? And his ears are attentive to their prayer. To their prayer. If there's anything I know about a battle, it's this right here, Rocky. If the devil can get you to stop praying, we're in trouble. His ears are attentive to their prayer. If you're hurting today, pray. When you don't have the words to pray, say, Daddy God, give me the words to pray. This is what I honestly felt like God wanted to say to his children. I want to ask you this morning as the pastor of Paris Christian Center, are you in a place today? Are you hurting today? Are you in a battle today? And you've been saying, God, do you see me? God, do you see me? And you're weary today. I want to pray for weary folks. If you're weary today, you got a heavy heart about some things, I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at. I'm going to wait a moment. God begins to work. As we begin to react to his word, and I stand with you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord, over every person in this room, but God, over every person that's standing today. God, I ask that you would do what only you can do. God, meet them in that place where they're weary right now. I speak to weariness, and I tell it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. I speak to every bit of hurt. God, right now in Jesus' name, I tell it to resolve right now. Lord, I ask that you would step into our lives, God, in such a mighty way, God, that we feel your presence. Lord, God, I ask you that you would heal every hurt in this place. Lord, as people stand and they're reacting to your word, Lord, I ask that you'd replace that weariness for peace right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that peace to begin to flow in this place with these people. God, they're your children. Lord, you know exactly what's needed. You know exactly what's needed. God, I thank you right now that you've already jumped in. And God, that you've got it. Lord, we trust you. We praise you. We thank you right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would bless us, God, and keep us. Lord, make your face to shine upon us, God, and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, there is a lot of goodies in the back. There's yogurt, there's Go-Gurt, there's cheese, and there is also COVID testing kits. If you want more of those, go in the back. Please get yourself some stuff. Brother Tommy, if you can go get that stuff real quick. Hey, Kurt, will you help Brother Tommy?